Well, welcome to Reflections, your host, Jorge Gonzalez. And at the end of the last segment, I was talking about, life is not easy. It's complicated. And, we have to take action. In terms of complicated, I said that would be kind of a theme of this particular program. There are two articles, one on the 6th of June by Madeleine Roman, a sociologist. Pensar complejamente, to think complexly, I guess it is, with complexity. And basically she says that we have to recognize that it's not easy to resolve problems which we think, can have simple answers. We have to do our job in terms of analyzing fully. It says, cada vez que reconocemos que no es posible resolver un problema o producir algo nuevo, si seguimos pensando y haciendo lo mismo, miramos, si bien de reojo, un pedacito de la complejidad. So, we can't resolve things and look things, produce new things if we do what we've done always in the past. We have to sort of take a little bite out of the complexity in order to move forward. And she uses the example of, tomeo por ejemplo el caso de la violencia. Lo más fácil es dejarnos llegar por las categorías del mismo moral y pensar que hay gente buena y gente mala. Lo difícil es reconocer que hay más complejidad y que esa complejidad se encuentra en el centro del problema de la violencia. So, in terms of violence, as an example, we like to think simple answers. There's bad and good, and there's one particular solution. It's not that easy. We have to analyze it as a complex issue, which is something we have discussed with the Proyecto Rotario Pro Paz has to address the. Violence, not only on a day-to-day basis, but with all the people that we have to collaborate with, and going towards the roots of violence, which we use the United Nations Sustainable Development Goals, all 17 of them. It's holistic. It's not easy. And similar to that article by Madeleine Roman is one by Carlos Diaz Olivo, and this is the 8th of June. And El Mesías que nunca llegaría. And basically, again, is that, we think this particular person is going to, leader is going to solve everything for us. And of course, that person usually leads us to believe it's easy, but it's never that way. And basically he's saying that we have to realize that there's problems that are first complex, it requires a lot of time, and it requires everybody working together. And he thinks that we can't really rely on government. This has to be more community and religious and these kinds of entities that are going to, really at the end of the day solve the different problems that we have in Puerto Rico. El cambio y la transformación social se construye poco a poco, día a día, con nuestro propio esfuerzo, no por el de los políticos. The change in social transformation is constructed little by little, day by day, with our personal efforts, not by those of the politicians. Same message, right? Complex, not easy, and we have to get involved and act, and it has to be little by little with a certain amount of patience, which we don't have, and that's one of the big problems, because the politicians have to every 2 years, every 4 years, continuously have to be producing, and the long term is very difficult for them, and they realize that it's one of the big problems of being politicians with elections and all. Some societies like Singapore has been fortunate to basically be able to work over, 40, 50 years with very little changes in the administration and with long-term visions of where they want to go that are then more important than having long-term visions. As Esteban Santos of Amgen says, more important than having the visions is to then act, and little by little. And again, it's not going to be resolved in a year, 2 years. It's a long term. And so that brings us to our infrastructure. A great article on 16th of June by Marcia Rivera, an economist and sociologist, really very well known. And she has this, ¿Por qué no tenemos agua? Why don't we have water? And basically, the article is that these studies, going back to 2016 and even, and then 2022, they all have pointed out, what we have to do. And the latest one with Carlos Pesquera back 6-7 months ago, again, studies and visions of what have to take place, but nothing happens. And she says that in 2016, Natural Resources, the Department of Natural Resources, did a plan, an integral plan of water resources. And, that only 41% of our processed water was arriving to the clients. Only 41% of our processed water. And that continues to be right where we are. We're still, losing, approximately 60% of the water that we process. It's not only water that, is not utilized from our rivers and from our lakes and all, but water that we have taken in, we have processed, chlorinated, treated, and with all the expenses, then send it out through our pipelines, and we lose 60%. And, nothing has been done. And this is decades that we know this, and we don't insist on this getting fixed. Now, a week ago, they found in the Supertubo, ended up being three serious leakages from this about five feet in diameter, that really was creating a problem for the Metropolitan San Juan, so it's being addressed. But as Carlos Pesquera and the Colegio de Ingenieros and studies they've done, this has to be, addressed, and it's going to take a lot of time and a lot of expense, and we got to be, unfortunately, patient, but we got to get started. And, we're basically just putting out the fire and not really preventing the problems. I read that, for example, in Madrid, where they have only about 2%, I believe it was 2-3% loss of water. Usually it's about 5 to 15% is good, and they're way below good. And what they do is they have a limit for each particular mechanical and studies, so that they just, if this thing basically after 5 years, there's a substantial deterioration, they change it, whether it's broken or not. And then they have tremendous maintenance and making sure there are no preventative things. So this is what we need to do. And it's not because of lack of expertise and all. It's just the political problem of moving forward. There was an advertisement by the administration on investments, $7 billion, $7 billion in different things. And I'm just analyzing it. And it basically has nine investments that are going to be that are taking place. Five by this administration, three back in 24, and only two of them will be under, you know, will be finalized during 2026. Some of them will go out to 2029. So at least in this advertisement, there's a recognition, you know, that these things have to take place, and they take time. And we need probably a lot more of them going forward. And, you know, all administrations have not met the needs with respect to maintaining our infrastructure and letting these public corporations be too political. And so, you know, that, again, the theme, you know, these things are complex. It's not easy. It can't be resolved, you know, with a magic wand and a silver bullet. No, it requires patience, and it requires funding, and it requires that people be active and people be supportive. It was one of the problems, of course, is, you know, with over the years, the lack of faith in our politicians, and there's an excellent article speaking of, you know, basically Latin America, and it says by Joaquín Monserrate Peñagarícaro, university professor, El vuelco a la derecha, the move towards the right, but regarding, you know, going through all the different countries in Latin America and how they're moving towards the right. But what I found, frankly, shocking, in terms of the continent, he says that 87% of, you know, the Latin American continent, he says that 80% of the Swiss, you know, have faith in their public institutions, which is apparently what he says. I'm quoting from him. He says it's the highest in the world. He says in the U.S. And then 57% in Uruguay is the highest in Latin America. Uruguay, the Dominican Republic is 49%, which is pretty good. Mexico 42%, Canada 41%. The United States is in 50% in 2009. It's now in 20%. The U.S. has gone from 50% confidence in the government to 20% today. And Peru is the lowest with 18%. You know, this is I think he said we were way down. Puerto Rico, oh no, excuse me, Puerto Rico, más bajo aún, al nivel de Perú, con 18%. Excuse me, I knew that would. So he's saying that Puerto Rico is even lower than the U.S. at 20, equivalent with Peru at 18%. This is supposedly a study by the OECD, the organization. What it stands for now, but I'm quoting from him, and I don't find those figures surprising, but it is a problem, and you know that's what has happened to. So let's see, we have a few minutes here before the end of the segment. Let me move in terms of complexity to the next topic, and it has to do with Iran, and where we stand on that, and a couple of, you know, with Venezuela and Cuba. Let's start with the good news, you know, in terms of Venezuela and Cuba. This is the 13th of June. There are two articles, you know, side by side. I always kind of enjoy when something kind of similar are on the same page or one page, you know, page 33 and then page 34. But this is both on page 27 of the June 13th, the Nuevo Día. And there's, you know, one on Venezuela. It's Shell impulsará proyectos gasíferos. that Shell is going to be undertaking some gas projects in Venezuela, which is, you know, good. There was a lot of reluctance by the petroleum companies to get involved. So this seems other than the one that was already there. I think it was Chevron. So this is kind of good. Let's see how that got gone. The Venezuela experience is, and it will have some relevance to what we're going to be talking on Iran, maintaining the government structure that was there, and kind of just moving on to bringing it more into the U.S. fold and controlling more of the oil and their way of dealing with the rest of the continent. So I think that's relatively positive what's happening there in Venezuela with Shell. And then in Cuba, Miguel Díaz-Canel announces an economic reforms, and that's something that the U.S. has been pushing really hard. And so he's announcing, you know, opening for foreign investments and liberalizing the economy in Cuba. It's a huge statement as to what they plan to do. Whether it will bring brought to action is a good thing. But again, I think it's a good, you know, a good development, and I think it derives from the pressure that the U.S. has been imposing on Cuba, and hopefully it involves not only because of pressure, but because of a realization that the government, you know, can't handle the economy and do a good job. So it's liberalizing and decentralizing. It says, son tiempos en que hay que cambiar. These are times in which one has to change. Well, you know, with a little bit of nudging, right, from the U.S. So with that little, you know, optimistic point of view, we'll go into the Iran situation. And I'm running out of time. I can't believe in this second segment I run out of time. So let's take a pause. And we'll go back. We'll go into where we stand on Iran again. Complexity. This is Jorge Gonzalez Reflections.